You're listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century, the podcast from Unity San Francisco that explores modern spiritual teachings and provides insight into how to apply them in your life. This is Reverend Ken Daigle. Today's talk was recorded live at Unity San Francisco. Enjoy.
How many people are triggered by that? How many people are excited by that? That's the whole point, because either money, the need for it, the desire for it, the longing for it, the hoarding of it, or the fear of it and the wasting of it and the lack of it sometimes can be overwhelmed, can be the wounds or the belief systems, frequently known as BS, that run our lives, not consciously, but subconsciously. You know, I've been teaching this for a while. I've been doing this work, and many of you have been part of that here in this room, and maybe some of you in Fort Worth as well, but I'm going to tell you a little story. I was teaching my abundance course called Absolute Abundance early on in New York City. One of the richest cities in the United States, one of the most prosperous cities in the United States. And I had 20-something people in the class, and we had this exercise, an inheritance letter. Everybody in the class got an inheritance letter, and they opened their letter, and they saw how much they had, and then they had to decide how they were going to allocate the money. This as much is going towards savings. This much is going to investments. This much is going to where I'm tithing of my time, of my treasure. So much of this is going to these people and this situation, until the very end, the dollar amount would be zero, so that they could become conscious of what they would do with this kind of windfall. Well, one of the women in the class opened up her letter, and it had $150 million. Think about that. You got $150 million inheritance. And she looked at me and she said, "I can't do this." And I said, "Excuse me?" I said, she goes, I don't want to play this. This just makes me too nervous. This makes me upset. I say, "I don't want anything to do with this kind of money." And I looked at her and said, we were sitting in a church. And I said, "You can't think of an organization that you love and support that might like this money?" And she goes, "No, I would not accept this amount of money. I wouldn't take it." And so she sat there while the rest of the class did the exercise. It wasn't a real inheritance of $150 million. It was just an exercise. But it was so telling that it made her so uncomfortable. And that honesty, that level of honesty, is really admirable. I thanked her for it. But I also pointed out that our beliefs around money, not money itself, is what's driving our lives. Our beliefs that money is hard to get, that there's not enough, that money is limited, there's only so much, what we call the zero-sum game, that if I take what I want, a slice of the pie, that may mean that there's not enough left for you. And that when we have this idea of money as something that needs to be carefully allocated, that it can't expand and grow, then it brings a lot of anxiety and fear sometimes into our lives. Or a subconscious belief that rich people are evil. It may have been taught to us by a loving grandmother or by a teacher, that somehow people with resources are uncaring. People with wealth don't really care for the rest of us. And I even heard it recently in my classes that people were saying, "Well, Reverend Ken doesn't know what it's like to suffer. Reverend Ken doesn't understand what it's like not to have money." So let me be really clear. I have been bankrupt. I have declared bankruptcy. I have been not able to pay the bills and relied on the kindness of other people to get me through those periods. So I totally know and experience what that's like. And I manage the money here. So So I understand what it is to make it go as far as it possibly can go, even when it seems like a huge windfall. There are competing and challenging moments that we all face around the very concept of money. Recently, we had Dr. Maria Nemeth here, and she wrote the book, The Energy of Money. She's become a friend, and she's a great, great teacher and ally. If you want one of these books after she signed them, she just sent them home with me last week, and they're all signed. They're on the table downstairs. And if you in Fort Worth or online want one, write us here at the Unity SF office. I'm glad to get one to you. In her book, she writes about structures of knowing. This idea that this lens that we look through colors our whole perception of the world. And those structures of knowing are carefully built from the time we're a child to the time we grow up. And those things, those stories about money, is really what's driving the show. I read The Energy of Money years ago when I was in ministerial school, and I quoted it and I used it in the book I just wrote, Unapologetic Manifestation. And then I met Dr. Maria, and she is fantastic. It is so wonderful to now be friends with her. And I wrote, the stories we built around money can become prisons, trapping us in situations we long to escape. I can't afford it is an affirmation, folks. I can't afford it is a mantra that we say unconsciously all the time. What if we shifted it to, I choose not to spend my money on that. I choose to invest my money differently. That's nice, but what's really important to me is this. And choosing consciously to shift out of the lack thinking that permeates all of our lives and shift into an abundance consciousness. Another friend of ours, Lynn Twist, who has shared this platform with us, wrote a book called The Soul of Money. So we have the energy of money and the soul of money. And Lynn talks about it this way. She says, scarcity is not an amount of money. Scarcity is a way of thinking. And we can know that by looking at our country. We sit, we live, we have our being in the richest country in the world, filled with billionaires and millionaires and tons of prosperity. We are in one of the richest, richest cities, both Fort Worth and here in San Francisco, in all of the United States. And yet, many of us feel there's not enough. There's not enough to go around. And scarcity is a consciousness, even for the very wealthy. Even for the very wealthy. You can see them. We've got to cut spending. We've got to worry about this and that. There's not enough to go for all of us. But a prosperity, a sufficiency mindset is when we shift to knowing that with spirit, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And we stop looking for specific ways and sources of income, and understand that it's all part of a holistic whole. The way I like to talk about it and think about it is, when you believe your abundance can only come from one source. So I have people say to me all the time, well, I'm on a fixed income. My father says that to me all the time. You know, Ken, I'm living on a fixed income now. Yeah, but Dad, it's fixed in the millions. Right? It's fixed in the hundreds of thousands. So it's not quite the same. But I'm living on a fixed income. That saying understands that the money only comes from one source. So it's my pension. That's the source of all of my good. It's my Social Security. That's the source of all of my good. It's my job. That's the source of all of my good. But when we know that our good can come from a variety, a plethora of sources of channels, it opens up. So yes, you may be on a pension that may or may not change, but What about unexpected income? What about a side gig? What about spirit itself? One of the things that happened this week here is that all of our staff members got a bonus check. Got a bonus check in their checks today because one of our donors decided that they were spiritually fed by our staff and that they wanted to give more. So there were surprises in everyone's paycheck today that people came up to me in tears because they weren't expecting that money. And I love, Edwin Gaines taught me years ago, I expect unexpected income. I expect unexpected income. And that mantra shifts us all and opens us to the realm of infinite possibility and rather being than being stuck in lack. One of the other amazing things I got to do when I was teaching abundance to many, many people around the country and around the world, and I'm still doing, is the $100 bill exercise. How many people have taken my class and have done the $100 bill exercise? About half the room here. So you guys are not going to play, okay? Sit this one out. But for those of you who have never played this game, I want to play this game with you. So this is how the game goes, and I write about it in the book, for those of you who have read the book. In the middle of the class, I take out a fake $100 bill, and I show it to the entire class. And they see it, and people hold it, and they see it's a fake. It's got nothing on one side. It's just a piece of paper with a $100 bill on the other side. And I rip it into tiny pieces, and then I throw it on the floor. Nobody seems to mind, right? But then I take out a real $100 bill, like this one. This is a real fresh $100 bill. I just took it out of the bank this morning. Out of my bank this morning. So I wanted to see this. So what are you going to do if I do this? Oh, what if I do this again? Oh, wow, these bills are tougher than they used to be. $100 bill in pieces. Whoa. Oh. And people would literally say to me, oh my God, that can be replaced. And I'd say, well, wait. God, Spirit, the Almighty can't replace that $100 bill? And someone would say to me, well, not if you did it on purpose. And I thought, oh. So your God's just bitter and mean. Your God's angry at you. Or they'd say to me, you're not being a good steward. Or they'd say to me, that could feed so many people. And again, I'd say, isn't it replaceable? If money is energy, or if money has a soul, isn't the soul eternal? And isn't energy something that can't be destroyed? It only changes forms. So do we believe these things, or do we just give lip service to them? And nothing shows that more than ripping up a $100 bill in front of people. But here's the thing. People say, that is just wasteful. I say, how many pairs of shoes or coats or pants do you have in your closet right now that you've never worn? That you've worn only once, right? That you wore once for a special occasion and it has sat in the back of your closet ever since, right? That does not limit your good. Your belief that it limits your good is what limits your good. My ripping up a $100 bill does not limit it coming to me. Your belief that it does is what limits your good. One of the people in the class literally said to me, when I said, well, you know, don't you believe God could replace that? What if it burned in a house fire? And she goes, well, not if I set the house fire. So that God is unforgiving as well. And I know, and I believe, and I'm working on in my being a loving God who constantly showers good upon me. Not because of what I do, but because I'm ultimately worthy. You don't get what you negotiate. You don't get what you're worthy of. You get what you believe you're worthy of. Your belief system is what drives the show, is what makes money either enjoyable or painful in your life. You know, this $100 bill laying at my feet can be taped back together, right? The bank will take it as long as all the pieces are there. I have burnt it in front of people. Yes. Look, there's a whole other. Oh my God. Again, the belief that it can't be, it's a piece of paper. It's not actually the currency of life, but we believe it is so forcefully that it makes people do crazy things for money, for the lack of money, and about money. We cheat and we lie and we hoard. And hoarding doesn't make you rich. Hoarding blocks the flow, right? Hoarding disconnects you from the flow of life. It disconnects you from the part of giving and receiving. It connects you from that understanding that we're here to receive good from multiple channels and multiple sources. So the last part of the exercise is I take out another crisp $100 bill. Who's got a lighter? Oh, look at that. She still won't let go of that. I'm like, oh my God. And I hold up the new $100 bill and I say, who deserves this? And I told you, if you've been here before, you can't play the game, Alan. Nice try again. So back here, come on up. You got to take concrete steps in the world to get your money. He wants to sit back and not come up and get it. For those of you who couldn't hear online, here, there you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, dear, I haven't seen one of these since most of you were born.
Is that true?
I haven't seen I never have $100 bills in my hand. This is very empowering.
No, what you get to do is understand this is part of the flow. This is just part of the flow of the universe. And because you were willing to raise your hand, you got it, right? You got the $100 bill.
Which hand ever?
Not the last. I expect unexpected income. I expect unexpected miracles. I expect bounty, right? I expect good. Thank you.
Where's that match?
Now, I wish I could reach out across the screen and find a way to do that to you online. For those of you in the room, thank you for coming up. For those of you in Fort Worth, we'll talk about something in the book study where you get to duplicate that experience. But I want you to understand that when we are willing to receive, when we're willing to receive our good, miracles open up. I'm leaving directly from here to get on a plane and go to London. I'm flying business class. I'm going to spend 4 days in London and fly back here. And I'm not paying for any of it. I'm being paid to do it because I expect unexpected income. I expect bounty and abundance in my life. I'm going to sleep on the way to London and wake up in London tomorrow morning. I am going to teach what I do to a group of people, of executives in London for 2 days, and then get on a plane and come back with more money in my pocket. And that is what I know is available for each and every one of us. It may not be London. It may not be the same circumstances. And of course, it will be different. But when I can shift my mind, when you can shift my mind. So this kid who was bankrupt and asking for help and unbelieving in his own worth has been able to transform this through these teachings to a true understanding of giving and receiving. those $100 bills you just saw me are my personal money. They're not the church's money. They're my money. And I give it freely. I am in the flow of giving and receiving. And when we don't step fully into giving and receiving, consciously, purposefully, meaningfully, we become cogs in the wheel. And Marianne Williamson puts it this way. The universe keeps a perfect set of books. What you give, you shall receive. And what you withhold shall be withheld from you. So I can't afford it is a mantra. It is a way of life. I can't do that is a way that limits your good. Whatever it is, give. Whatever the amount, give and step fully into the flow of giving and receiving. And it's not just churches who believe this. Because I know I've heard all this, oh, churches just want your money. It's all about da-da-da-da-da. It's like, that's not true. Joseph Campbell talks about it this way. Money is congealed energy, and releasing it releases life's possibilities. There are people who know this. There are people who understand and live in this consciousness. And that's what I want for all of us, to be in the flow of giving and receiving. You know, Misa and the music team here all put on their biggest bling because I was going to be talking about money. And I wore jeans and a nice embroidered shirt. And there are billionaires who wear t-shirts to work, right? There are billionaires who wear jeans and t-shirts. There are people who have very little but dress up for church on Sunday in their finest. What it opens up is that inside you, your belief around riches, around abundance, around money determines how you live.
Thanks for listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century. I'm Reverend Ken Daigle. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Unity San Francisco and learn more about us at unitysf.com. Spiritual Living for the 21st Century is a production of Unity San Francisco.